All right, hello and welcome to, I guess, what is the fourth edition of the TCC Olympian podcast. You may be looking at the calendar and thinking, wait a minute, the Olympics aren't going on, but it's January 2015, and there's some things going on that we thought we should talk about that are Olympic related. So joining me on the other line from the city where they think 4 inches of snow is a blizzard is Jeremy Bridgman. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, although I could probably use the National Guard. We are buried up to my ankle.
Yes, very intense snowstorm there in New York City, so glad to see that the phones are at least still working. So like I said, Jeremy, there's a few things going on that are Olympic-related, and we thought, you know, we're kind of about halfway through the Olympic cycle since the last go-around, so we put together a podcast to remind you that we're still out here doing our thing, kind of starting the process of getting ready for the next Olympics, and also just talk about some of the Olympic stuff that's in the news. I don't know about you, but the biggest thing I've been hearing Olympic-related is the Boston 2024 Olympic bid. USOC just announced recently that is going to be, you know, the American city that's put up against all the other cities in the world for the Olympics. And given that we haven't had a summer games here since 96, some folks believe that, you know, Boston could very well get the winning bid. But it also sounds like a lot of people in Boston don't want it. And so, you know, my question to you is whether or not you think it's a good idea, because I think you and I disagree on it.
We absolutely do, and I, for one, think it's a terrible idea for Boston or any American city, that is, to really go in for these kinds of bids. I'll start by mentioning, you know, of course, Boston beat out Washington, the San Francisco Bay Area, and Los Angeles for the USOC to put us with Boston forward. But then you turn to the people of Boston, and no one wants it there. There's been studies out there that essentially say vast majority of taxpairs don't want to foot the bill for this. We know from past experiences in cities like Greece and others that the Olympics essentially lose money for a municipality. And Boston taxpayers certainly don't want to foot the bill for this. I remember years ago when New York was threatening to put forward a bid for the Olympics. And just, you're riding the subway one day and seeing the advertisement and just thinking how awful it would be to have the deluge of athletes and media and tourists into an already crowded city. And then you're thinking of Summer Olympics in Boston, high tourist season, you've got the Red Sox playing, you've got schools that, you know, would be moving back in and all the influx of students there. It's already overrun in the time period where the games will happen, and then you want to dump the world onto it? I can't imagine that Boston would be able to actually handle, let alone enjoy handling, the immense pressure of hosting an Olympics. And then you think about all the extra stuff that needs to get built. I mean, here in New York, we've been threatening to have a Second Avenue subway for, I don't know, 150 years or something. And it's still not ever going to happen in our lifetime or our grandkids' lifetime. And then Boston itself has had its struggles with actually making things work, putting things together. They had that big dig that took 9 years and cost something like $25 billion. They eventually got done. But you're talking about an intense time frame to build up temporary structures for 2 weeks. I love the games, but I don't see it going well in Boston. It's crowded, they can't put it together, and the city doesn't want it. So why put everyone through this?
Now, as I said, I think you and I disagree on this. Just like when New York was up for it a few years ago, you were mortified by the potential of the games coming there. When Chicago was up for it, I was pretty excited about the prospect of having the Olympics here. Of course, they were summarily rejected in the first round of voting, which kind of put a damper on. Yeah, they were actually having a party downtown to hopefully celebrate the games coming here. But I definitely think, well, one, I just love to see the games back in America, and probably for selfish reasons. I'm much more likely to go. But I would say probably at the outset that Los Angeles of the finalists probably made the most sense, but that ship has sailed. So looking at Boston, one thing I think that people, as they look at some of the articles I've seen, are complaining about is they forget about the scope of the Olympics. You know, it's not just like every event is suddenly going to be happening in the city limits of Boston. I mean, it really is going to be the whole state of Massachusetts and up into New England. I mean, if you think about when the Olympics were in Atlanta, you know, that's a landlocked city where they had to be hosting, you know, sailing and windsurfing events. So obviously there were remote venues. Similarly, you know, I've seen the plan, you know, you're talking about scaling across the entire state of Massachusetts for this. So the idea that, like, every athlete and every event is going to be crammed downtown is really not what we're looking at. And in terms of, you know, so I would think, you know, if you want to be like the Patriots, the New England Olympics, right? and, you know, you can insert your own joke there about being deflated in some way. But, now, and then from an infrastructure standpoint, though, with Boston, you've already got a city compared to a lot of potential cities that are ahead of the curve. You know, I mean, just like the universities that are there in the city, there may be logistical issues with moving, but I mean, hopefully they would schedule the games at a time where that wouldn't be an issue. But the benefit of having those institutions there is there are extra stadiums and extra arenas that are there that wouldn't normally exist in most cities, and so they could theoretically be retrofitted fairly easily. You know, I mean, you can, if you've already got the standing structure, it doesn't cost that much to make it usable for handball. You know, you don't have to build a whole new building for that. And then the benefits that you have coming in, and I know, obviously, some of the Olympic Games has had a less than stellar record. You know, you look at Greece in terms of their, you know, the ethics involved in it. But if it's done right, and I acknowledge that's a big if, you know, you have the opportunity for jobs and tourism dollars, and then also lasting infrastructure, roads, and transit improvements that may be there after the games are gone. And my understanding, and again, all of this, you know, obviously I understand why the tax dollars would be, taxpayers would be leery of committing tax dollars to the Olympic bid that you may not even get. But, you know, based on what I've read up on this, none of the tax dollars would be touched until the summer of 2017, which is when the announcement is made. And that, so it would only be after they knew the Olympics were coming there. And even those tax dollars would only be used for infrastructure projects that at some point were going to be happening anyway. Maybe they would be accelerated, but, you know, roads and other transit improvements. And my understanding is that any sort of arenas or whatnot would be done by private funding and sponsorship. So, you know, in that sense, I mean, I get that maybe for a few weeks it would be annoying to have all the extra people in your city, but, you know, I don't think they're throwing themselves into another big dig sort of situation, in part because, you know, whatever the situation may have been with the big dig, you know, they had a deadline, but nobody was really forced, you know, there was no global pressure at the risk of significant embarrassment if they didn't get it done in the stated time frame. Here, it's a very clear deadline. And I think they'll be able to pull it off.
I mean, I want to agree with you, you know, what you said up front, is that it would be great to see the games in America. But I just think it's such a scam right now. All of the money that's forced to be put towards these games for things that, you know, in a pipe dream, you're right, would be behind infrastructure and useful things for the people, you know, in the wake of the Olympics. I just haven't seen that really happen. I mean, you saw it a little bit in Atlanta, but that's because it was a relative wasteland, and they sort of built a city center, and that was very helpful. But you've already got a thriving metropolis. What I would love to see is Boston sort of go the way with this public referendum that they initially pulled because no one supports it. But if you look at, like, you look ahead to the 2022 Olympics, the Winter Olympics, when no one wants to host them, I mean, already Munich, Germany, voters rejected a bid. Switzerland
the public referendum failed. Same with Norway. So right now, no one wants to host those games. So I would love to see, you know, now that Boston's in it, let's put it to the voters, and maybe they could come up with a more creative way to fund it. Like you were saying, give sponsorship. Let's make it a private thing. So, you know, get some, you know, companies, make it the Coca-Cola Olympics and have them pay for it all. As opposed to, it'd be an interesting way to do it. But I just don't think that, you know, I don't think that Boston, as it is right now, that they don't want it, they can't afford it, and they shouldn't have to. And to go through all this is just really kind of, it's got to be frustrating for those citizens and for the city employees who have been barred by their mayor from speaking negatively about the pit. So that's a whole other area that I wouldn't want to be a part of, is the city employee who couldn't, you know, talk freely about how I didn't want the games.
Sure. Well, maybe, I mean, Boston's got 18-plus inches of snow right now. Maybe they should be getting ready to host the 2022 slot. They're ready to go there.
Yeah, which would be better than, you know, when we were in Vancouver and they were having to ship in snow. Boston's got plenty of that. So maybe they should just flip to the winter. I think that's a good idea.
Although, so you mentioned Vancouver. I was going to bring that up. That's one thing I thought, though, as I was thinking about this. Yeah, I'd never been to Vancouver before the game, so I can't speak to whether there was any infrastructure changes. But, I mean, I know one of the things people always say when they talk about the games, and I acknowledge that summer games are bigger than the winter Olympics, but did you feel like at any point while we were there that it was so overcrowded that it was probably unbearable for the locals? Because I didn't.
I didn't, but I was also a tourist, and I was getting wrapped up in the pageantry. So, I'll be honest, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, back in 2010, about the impact. I mean, certainly the place that we stayed, I mean, the guy Airbnb'd the apartment for us that we stayed in, so certainly there was, you know, a boost to the local economy during those 2 weeks. I'm sure that was beneficial a lot, but I'm just going to go ahead and guess that they were glad to see all of us gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with Boston. I mean, obviously, a lot remains to be seen there. Certainly, I don't disagree with you at all that the IOC, kind of along with its brethren in the in FIFA, not exactly renowned for handling these things in the best and most appropriate ways. And, you know, on one hand, there's a part of me that thinks, well, maybe if an American city can grab hold of this, they can do it the right way, although I'm not really sure that Salt Lake City proves that. On the other hand, maybe the best thing for us to do is just wipe our hands with it and say, you know what, if you want to engage in shady dealings with Russia and Qatar and Rio and whatever you want to do, we'll let you do that. Well, then have the problems, and we'll just go win all the medals. I don't know. So we're talking about 2024. That is 9 years away. Let's talk about something that's happening now. The biggest news, I think, among Olympic athletes right now, you know, in the height of alpine ski season, and, you know, just recently, Lindsey Vonn set the new world record for alpine skiing wins. The record was 62. She tied it. She beat it. And then I think I saw just yesterday she kicked it up to 64 now. Her career is by no means over, so I suspect that's going to be a mark that she puts further and further out there, which is really an amazing accomplishment, particularly coming back from her terrible injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously our focus is always the Olympics, and she hasn't had the Olympic legacy that I imagine she had hoped for and probably we projected in some of our draft boards of the last couple Olympics, although she does have an Olympic gold medal, and who am I to say anything negative about any Olympic gold medalist. I mean, so that alone would be an achievement, and then to put that on top of all her other amazing achievements, you know, she's certainly going down as one of the greatest skiers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to the real question that comes out of this Lindsey Vonn story. What happened to Tiger Woods' feet?
I maybe the speculation it was the golf club from the night in question. That's the rumor I like to go with, is that he got a 9-iron to his grill, both the car and the face.
So wait, you're saying going back all the way to Elon?
Yeah, there's been some photos, and I think he maybe just forgot to put his caps in that morning. That's the thing I like to go with.
So he got his teeth knocked out way back when. He's had a cap, and then he just forgot to put it on?
Yeah, or fell out or something. It's an absurd theory, but I really like it. Because that means he's just been going back forever, and he's just been hiding it. But, sometimes...
Interesting.
They're being crazy together, so, something like that.
Yeah, that's nice. No, I mean, I don't buy a photographer knocked it out story. That just seems strange. And, of course, the venue has denied that it happened, and I think that, we would have known more about it. I mean, it probably would have been if you assume a sea of photographers is trying to take pictures of them and one of them hits him in the face, another one's going to immediately take a picture of the guy getting his tooth knocked.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of them there.
I don't know. I mean, so going back all the way is interesting. I just don't know. Maybe there was just a wild party to celebrate 63, or I don't know what the situation was, but certainly, I had a good time doing this after I saw that picture. I showed it to several people. Just saying, who is this? One of the most recognizable athletes in the world. Who is this person? And nobody could, with his glasses on and his bandana with the missing tooth there. And no one came close to guessing, and most of them were astonished to find out it was Tiger Woods. But, maybe the lack of a tooth will help his game this coming season. I don't know. But I suspect he'll put it back in, but... Yeah, I did see, I didn't realize people were speculating it went all the way back to Elon, but I do think that someone was posting pictures and one of his teeth, that front tooth had been faked and was getting discolored, and maybe he was in the process of getting a new one. I don't know why that would be the, why not just say that? Yeah. It's a great mystery.
I don't know. Those two are being crazy together. I mean, you see also, you said it earlier, Lindsey Vonn will go down as one of the greatest skiers in history, but her legacy certainly isn't being helped by her affiliation with Tiger. You go back to November when he went off on that piece of satire in that golf publication, and she came to his defense, and it was just this downward spiral of crazy. And it's kind of like, all right, these two kind of deserve each other for now. So, let's try to focus on their games and not so much dental work.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. All right, so talking now about, our next Olympics that are coming up. We've got Rio. It is 2016, which is, as of this moment, 556 days away, so, mark your calendar. It's never too
early. The anticipation is in the air.
That's right. Now, I'm sure everybody is already talking about Rio 2016, so we may be repeating some of the things that you've already heard, but, it's never too early to start thinking about the early storylines, maybe even getting together your early draft board. I know some of our hardcore players probably actually are, because there's some crazy people out there who play Fantasy Olympian. But so turning to 2016, one of the things that's going to happen is you've got golf and rugby making their return to the Olympics. What do you think?
I'm excited for rugby. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the sevens, right? It's not the full-on Australian rule.
That's right.
That's
correct.
I've occasionally caught the USA Championship that happens in Vegas. It's a really exciting day of rugby. So, you know, one of our co-founders obviously had a stint as a rugby player in college, which was fantastic. But rugby's always been a really fun game for me. I wish I could see more of it and know more of it, but I'm really excited for that to make its grand return. So that's going to be, I think, my most anticipated event. Golf, me kind of, you know, it's just exciting, but I'm glad it's back. But it doesn't strike me as an Olympic sport. You know,
yeah,
for whatever, it just doesn't feel Olympic. Maybe it's because you have it every weekend, and Jim Nance puts me to sleep when he talks about it. But I don't get that sense of grandeur with golf. And somehow I feel like I would with rugby, because it's international, it's nations, and it's athletic.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I mean, I think my biggest thing with any Olympic sport, and any sport that they're thinking about adding to the Olympics, is I like for the Olympic gold medal in any Olympic sport to be like the epitome of your field. And I feel like, you know, if Toothless Tiger goes and wins the Olympic gold medal, that's not going to be how they're going to measure his career. They're going to look at whether he's got enough majors to pass Jack. Even to a lesser degree, you look at, when baseball was in the Olympics, and obviously that's come and gone, and now maybe that'll come back again at some point, you know. But the Olympic gold medal is not typically how people measure, the best baseball players in the world. They're looking at, World Series titles. Even though we've had a pretty successful run with the, men's basketball Olympic team of late, I really think that most of them probably don't consider that to be the epitome of their field. Whereas if you take something like track and field or gymnastics or, downhill skiing, these are really kind of, everything builds to that. And a lot of times people spend 4 years waiting for that moment. Swimming is another example. And, that's their opportunity to really become huge stars as opposed to huge stars showing up. And that brings me back around to rugby. I will confess I don't know enough about rugby to know. I know they do international world championships, and I'm not sure for countries who are big into rugby if that carries the same sort of weight as, like, a soccer World Cup. Because, the soccer gold medal in the Olympics is kind of a nothing. Like, I think the rule is you have to send an under-20 team, and then you can supplement that with three older players. But, I mean, it's basically a junior sort of thing, because the World Cup is the real deal. I don't know how that'll be with rugby, but at least coming from my American worldview, I don't see a lot of rugby. It's never promoted here very often, and so I'm excited to see it. I'm excited about the prospect of seeing it as an Olympic sport. I'm excited to learn more about it. But I don't know if what we're going to be seeing is the best of the best, because this is going to be their new big thing, or if, they'll send their B team because there's some other tournament. And I guess the other question I have... Go ahead.
I think it's going to be more the latter. I think for the rugby fans that I know, they're just excited and getting acknowledged, and no, this won't be what the nation's workforce, this won't be the culmination of a season, but I think we will get the A-team. I think we will get a really good show, and I think it'll grow interest in the sport. But I want to go back. I really like your point about it being Olympic events should be a culmination of all the work. And that's why I've never taken seriously tennis as an Olympic sport.
Yeah, that's another great example. I mean, they're trying to win Wimbledon,
Right, when McMurray ended up winning the gold medal when the Olympics were in London, it was kind of like, but he didn't win Wimbledon.
Right.
And then he did, and that was the big celebration. That's what he's going to be known for, not the Olympic medal. And so I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Now, my other question on rugby, just from my purely Americanized view, we're not very good at that, are we? Like, this isn't something we're expected to come in and medal in?
I think we're expected to be competitive just because we've grown big down on the farm. But certainly in the full the full, like, Australian rules or the other types, we're not any good internationally. But this is sevens. It's sort of a faster game. You can get, it doesn't have, it's not as, I understand it's not as tactically taxing as the others. So I think we'll be competitive just because we're big. But I don't expect us to medal.
I mean, who are our favorites? Probably, I mean, New Zealand, England, Australia type clubs?
Australia, yeah. Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that'll be good. Yeah, I mean, as a general rule, I favor adding sports only if they increase the U.S. medal total. That's why I love snowboarding and any other sort of extreme sports in the Winter Olympics. But, you know, we can only do this.
And which is why we talked about in the past how it was such an obvious scam to get rid of softball in the Summer Olympics because we won it all the time.
Well, you know, there are rumblings of it returning for 2020, and we'll get to more on Rio in just a second, but I got to jump ahead to 2020 in Tokyo as we're talking about new potential events.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball and softball are being considered to be brought back. I get that. But then also seeking inclusion are snooker and billiards. I got to be honest, I don't even know what snooker is. I think that was a cast member on the Jersey Shore. And
I believe you're right. I believe you're right.
And then billiards, I don't know how that's different than pool, but either way, I'm not jumping up and down about this. What do you think?
You know, it's going to be one of those things. For me, snooker, because you're right. I think I've seen it once in a London pub. But as for billiards, it's one of those things that if it's not in, I'm not going to care. But if it is in, I'm going to watch the heck out of it. Because it's like table tennis. Like, I'm a pretty good ping pong player, you know, I can beat you every time.
That's true.
But when it comes around to the Olympics, it's really fun to watch. I'm not going to dedicate, you know, a night to it, but it's really fun to see. So, you know, it's like when you catch the pool tournaments on, like, ESPN2 in the old days. And it had that, the Black Widow Spider, wasn't that her nickname or something?
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, you catch this little, you know, niche corner of the world, and it's like, oh, that'd be kind of fun. But, you know, neither, they're pub games. I play pool every other week or so, and I don't think it's an Olympic sport, but you know what? Canoeing is an Olympic sport, so who knows?
I mean, it just seems crazy to me to think that you have the opening ceremonies, and you've got Usain Bolt and LeBron James walking in next to some dude who plays snooker. I mean, maybe those guys are in better shape than I think they are, but when do we get bowling in the Olympics? I mean, if we're going to bar games.
Yeah, and darts, are you kidding me? That'd be a good one.
Yeah, I'm not real on board with that bid, but, you know, I guess there's got to be something for everybody. All right. But before we get to all of that, we're going to have to go through Rio. As I said, we are just under 600 days away. The World Cup went pretty well down there last summer. At least that's how it was presented to us. From a public relations standpoint, who knows what was going on in the villages to make that happen. But are they really going to be prepared for the Olympics? So far, the IOC has slammed their preparation repeatedly, saying they are farther behind than anyone they've ever seen, including Athens, which was, by all accounts, a complete disaster. And there's even been jokes, although obviously they couldn't do this, that Tokyo is so far ahead that they should swap the two. What do you think is going to happen here?
The swap wouldn't happen. It's gonna get done. I recall, you know, in Sochi they were installing toilets the days that the journalists were arriving, days before the games. Russia just didn't finish everything. They were just, I remember there's the one they put a facade of a finished building on the shell of the building, they just stopped doing. So it'll get done. The games will go on, and there'll be a lot of build up to how bad the preparations are. And then the open ceremonies will happen, and everyone will forget about it. It's going to happen. I don't see the IOC having the teeth to actually take things away or to postpone. There's too much money on the line. So it'll happen, and that'll be that. There's going to be a lot of chatter about it, but I don't see any problems with it going off.
I mean, they're saying that the bay where they're going to host the sailing and windsurfing competition is full of trash and raw sewage, and Brazil had said that, oh, yes, we will definitely get rid of that, or I guess they had said reduce it by 80%, which is kind of scary as a starting point. But anyway, and apparently it's not happened, and they're basically like, yeah, it's not going to get done. I mean, if you're an Olympic-caliber sailor or windsurfer, and you're going to be competing there, I mean, how are you supposed to approach that? Raw sewage.
I don't know. It's a crappy job, but someone's got to compete.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think you're right. It does always seem to eventually get done. I mean, it does seem like every year we hear these stories. I mean, I remember even going back to Vancouver, they were panicked about whether or not there was going to be snow. And, you know, we were there. There was snow. Just enough snow, but there was snow.
Just enough for the TV cameras. And I promise you there will be just enough clean water for the TV cameras that the event will go off. But even in the preparations, I will say at least they're not using slaves to build the stadiums like they are in Dubai.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if we want to go into FIFA, that's a whole different topic. But, you know,
that's a different podcast, but I had to admit.
Well, no, but I will say, though, one thing about the Olympics and the World Cup, I actually do feel like a World Cup threat of making a last-minute change could be much more realistic because I think at any point you could say to Qatar or Moscow or whoever that you lost the World Cup, it's going to the United States. They've got 50 soccer stadiums ready right now to handle this, or Germany, or whoever. I mean, there are lots of places with that sort of infrastructure. But the infrastructure to put on the Olympics is obviously unique because not everybody has a gigantic track stadium sitting around that's also close to a an Olympic caliber swimming pool. And a velodrome, so the requirement is so unique. But again, I guess that's circling all the way back to the beginning of the podcast. That's why I know this may not be what the people in Boston want to hear, but I think if Boston gets it, it may not end up being a problem because, as you say, they always get it done or done enough. And at least if it's in the U.S., you know that they're not, well, at least you hope they're not, I mean, you presume they're not, evicting homeless people and building a stadium on top of their place or using slave labor to get those stadiums built. So, that's a step in the right direction.
you're right to circle it all the way back, but I still don't think that is a good idea for Boston to host, but we'll see.
Long before we get to that, Rio 2016, the tickets just went on sale recently. So if you, I don't know, that I don't think I'll be going to Rio, although that would be fun. But, if anybody who's out there listening wants to get us reports from the ground in another 555 days here, that would be amazing. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you in the pod. We're going to be building up, getting ready for the next game. We had 1,500-plus people play last year. Our goal is going to be to have it even bigger and better. We're going to be trying to do more of the podcast, and our goal is to get some actual Olympians on the podcast to talk about, their preparation and their experiences at the games and, maybe why you should pick them for the fantasy team. And, so if anybody out there has those connections, certainly feel free to drop us a line. But we're really looking forward to it. Anything else, Jeremy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Not at the moment. I'm going to go get that shovel, and by the shovel, I mean teaspoon, and head out for some coffee.
All right. I wish you luck, my friend. Okay.
Bye.